A local tribe is using a new way of keeping birds away from a water tower, and they're introducing the scare clown standing atop the Mole Lake Ojibwe's water tower in Forest County. And by the way, the Utility and Public Works Department kindly requests that the community refrain from disturbing the clown situated atop the water tower. They urge everyone not to shoot at him, as well as doing so could result in damage to the water tower itself. The scare clown has been placed there specifically to deter birds from causing any disturbances.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Jay Bird, what in the hell is going on up there?
Scare clown Steve. Well, yeah.
That's something.
The myth, the legend, the scare clown, it's probably pretty shot up by now. I don't know.
I mean, if you have
follow up report is needed.
So, first and foremost, if you're just tuning in, that was real. This is not something concocted out of one of our reptile brains. That's from the news. There's something off in the cheese this year, Jay.
These things happen. Drastic results to get rid of the birds on the water tower, I guess.
Scare
right?
clown. It's like a bad it's like a bad local cover band name.
I'm sure there is one called that.
Thursday night, come and hang with Scare Clown. Playing on the 80s greatest hits. I'm skinny. Bop, bop. Anyway, Scare Clown. Goodness. Somebody go take a picture with the Scare Clown.
Yeah, it's up there a ways, but yeah, I definitely want to get somebody down there. It's a ways from here, but it can be done. We got all week, right?
Yeah.
Before that thing's destroyed by gunfire.
I mean, it's surreal. The first time you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Jay sent me this, and it's from the television. And the first time I see it, I didn't even laugh because I was like, no way.
You're right. Right. Like, I know. Like,
scared. Can you imagine the dude having to do that? Like, in breaking news, you know. This is Peter Klobuchar with the local news.
With that idea? What I want to know. It's just like, yeah, that'll do it. You know what? We're going to have to warn them not to shoot at it, though.
That's the last time I get high at a city council meeting. Yeah. God, grief. Freaking scare clown. Woo. It is. There's something in the water. There's something in the water. Goodness gracious. Other than that, what's going on at the Muskie shop? Obviously, we're in full swing here. Not too much on the comings and goings. I'll tell you what went. The Grim Reaper, Reaper Keeper. That thing went lickety-split. You getting any more of those coming your way?
Yeah, they're coming. They're coming hopefully this week.
Sweet. You got that. Other than that, we got some sale stuff. You got some things on sale. I think we're still running a special on Titans and MEPS. Am I still crazy?
The MEPS has changed. It's Giant Killers on sale right now, 15%
nice.
Off.
Are we keeping the special pricing on inflation buster pricing on Titans?
Yeah. As far as I know, that'll go on for a little while yet. Yeah.
Which is sweet. I mean, people picking them up, and then it's freaking Livingston said, hey, we're game. Go for it. Do the thing. You know, so trying to help people out there when everything. Oh, I'm an idiot. I just tried to touch my freaking studio monitor. It's not a touch screen, Jay. Do you ever have that when you're sitting here going, you feel like you're going back in time when it's non-touch screen? Anyway.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
All the time.
Too many screens, you know. But got that, man. Other than that, it sounds like everything's kind of shaping up. You were out yesterday. What was cooking there? What were you seeing? What are you hearing? What's the word on the street?
Yeah. Seen a lot of mixed reports this week. Some decent fishing. I talked to a lot of people that had been fishing. There are some good days and some bad days, just like you can come to expect with musky fishing. So weather's been a little up and down with the temps, of course, you know. But another cool day today. You know, it wasn't much happening for me yesterday. I'm not going out that place again for any time soon. Just nothing happening. The water's coming down on the river and stuff like that. So lakes have been the way to go. So, and weeds are growing well, and before too long, bluegills will be spawning. So you have the full bait fish thing up in shallow. So it's, everything's been kind of pushed behind with the cooler than normal weather around here. You know, even though we had normal ice out, it's just like a little, everything's a little slow. So I saw some good stuff. Minnesota opener was yesterday. So yeah, I'm posting on some big fish there too. So get out and get one.
Get it. What are you hearing? What is the rumor around the shop, you know, as your people are coming in, what are they getting fish on, or is there anything
for baits? Some on bucktails. I haven't heard much on topwaters yet. It's a little cool, a little early for that to kind of like go widespread, but same kind of thing, erratic stuff, a lot of swim bait action. So
that's what I'm hearing, yeah.
If I heard of one bait type, I guess it would be soft plastics that are the swim bait fashion, you know, you're
just a little swimming dogs. Besides, I actually had a
Magnus.
I have a guy send me some nice, actually two different people sent me some nice fish from up north yesterday on the shorty Magnus. And and that's like, Herbie's all freaking out about that thing for the spawn. That panfish and your brim spawn and your shallow spawn, that's what that body shape is really, really good for, that because you have that panfish profile, you know, in a bigger thump. But yeah, swim baits, I'm hearing a lot. The things I'm hearing from a lot of people, a lot of swim baits, not a lot of like consistent blade action. You know, it's just, it's kind of one of those deals where this year's, it's a different ball game. I mean, everything I've heard, it's like so mixed report when you're hearing from so many people. Obviously, Jay being at the shop, you hear from a million people, and then I hear from a million people. Well, this is working here and this is working there, which all that tells me is you better have your big boy pants on when it comes to patterning. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, they're eating the bucktails, everybody get out there, and here comes the reaping.
Well, we had, you know, like one obvious day, and I think it was Tuesday morning. There was a big storm. It started raining at noon. So all morning long, it was like super thick, heavy clouds and combination of wildfire smoke and very warm. And you guys,
squatching weather, if you will.
Stuff was working good. Yeah, for sure. One of those days in there, that was cool. I was working, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, you put your hands above you pull your polarized down and put your hands over your eyes, and you just see a squatch there on the side of the lake in the mist, and he points at the weed bed where to make a cast. Yeah, that's kind of day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've all had those.
Sasquatch in the woods? The shore?
Just a squatchy kind of day. You know. Speaking of, I thought, that segues, and that you saw, what's her name? They just did the bath soap of that one chick, the actress, Jay. I'm sure you've seen that. What's the chick? They sold her bath water and turned it into soap. What is that?
Okay.
Now I sound ridiculous. You idiots blonde chick.
Yeah, she was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Sydney something?
Oh, Sydney Sweeney. That's got to be it.
She sold... Okay, what now?
We said Squatch, and there's a company called Dr. Squatch, and they make soap, and they sold soap infused with her bathwater.
Oh, okay. So, genius marketing right there. Well, okay.
Listen, we got a project to work on this summer. It's Muskie 360 bathwater soap.
I could sell it at the Bash.
There you go. Come to the Bash for Jay's bathwater soap.
Okay.
To lather up with the goodness. I don't know. My gosh. Anyway. Now, it is the mixed bag of all mixed bags. You know, I saw a bunch of stuff. The Minnesota stuff was cracking off, but it wasn't like... It's not like everybody's just crushing. And I think this year's like things open up fast, and then it's been spawn mix up. I've been asked so many times, are they done spawning everywhere?
Yeah, me too. Right.
Everywhere. Right. And, you know, it's like you talk to Dr. Bob, And, you know, I think we had an anecdotal story where, you know, his somebody and somebody caught one and they were like, okay, we're pretty sure. And then somebody else on another lake seen them paired up. Krieger's seen them. It's everywhere. I've seen funky stuff down here. Everywhere you go, that's just kind of like, hey, it's not not the perfection. Danny was out. Herbeck was out walleying, right, yesterday.
On Eagle Lake?
No, he was on another body of water. But, and he just said, here comes about a 50 just cruising on the surface out in the middle, like 30 feet, just doing donuts or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So just mixed bag, kind of extended spring. I know for me down here, I am not acclimated to the heat because it hasn't been hot. I mean, typically by early June, you know, I'm watching my water temp going, you know, because I'm cutting out here pretty soon. And it's been cool. It's been cloudy. It's been rainy. It's just been a super mild spring. And, you know, I think that you guys are dealing with the same thing. I think everybody kind of is you know, you have your warm days, but it's not enough to really jumpstart things, right? Where there's the days that are really kicking off for me are like these really warm, intense days. Like the first day of the warm up, okay, they're kind of coming around. Second day of the warm up, you know, they're drawing into the shallows where I'm finding success. I'm finding success everywhere from top water to jerk baits, where you better be reading the water daily. You know, and I'm always pounding that, but that's the difference right now of going, you know, if old Lester Knutson got one on an old, you know, plop, whatever, you know, you can't go out and tomorrow and expect that that's going to be the case. and that's always par for the course with musky fishing, but
it's par for the course, but yeah, you're going to have this type of spring, closer to attention, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to pattern, you're going to have to. Again, the 3-point bait check, take advantage of it. You know, everybody wants to complain about pan optics, but you don't hear anybody bitch about man optics, Jay.
Man optics,
yeah,
right.
Getting out there and using your peepers and looking at edges. I'll tell you something that's really important to me when I'm first getting out on the water and depending when it's fluctuating like this. You know, you pull up to the boat ramp, you know, there's always something. You know, you've always heard the story, Jay, old Tommy, whatever, he caught a huge bass. And, you know, right there at the ramp. And there's always some kind of bait or forage at boat ramps. It's, you know, seems to be where if we're seeing minnows right on those edges, I mean, it's literally 5 seconds with your eyeballs and goes, is there anything cruising up here? And that is crucial intel for this brim spawn, this panfish spawn that's coming, right?
Yeah.
Where I'll tell you that when you get up and that's one of the best bites of anywhere. It's always one of my favorite things. If you can get in on that, you can get in on a bunch of muskies fast, right? Because brim, they protect their beds. They're up there. It's like, you know, here's this little snack burrito. Here's this little pizza pocket that won't get off its bed, right? And when the time's right, whackety schmackety, he's in the belly of the beast.
Sure, makes sense.
It's super easy forage, where I'm always beating the thing where muskies are going to follow the path of least resistance, right? So here's food that ain't going to run very far, and it's easy pickings, and there's a ton of it. And you know, using your man optics, if you will, is a heck of a way to figure out where these brim are. And by brim, it's like your panfish, your bluegills, your red ears, you know, that's an all encapsulating class of all the panfish, right? And it's super important to watch those edges. A lot of times when I first get the inclination that that's happening, I will just park the boat right when I pull in the ramp and then just hoof it just a few, you know, 20, 30 yards down the edge, right? Looking around, okay, are they up here? Are there any beds or any fish moving there? And, you know, inevitably one day I see it, right? So if I get in that time frame, we're getting close to it up north, just spend a few seconds, you know, get on that edge. And I mean, even on big choppy windy stuff, man, a lot of times they're up in nothing. Even on a choppy day, if you can get out of the wind a little bit, you can see them up there. And just spend a little bit of time peeking, you know, on that end of things, because that's super, super good patterning where you're going to have a lot of predators. I mean, your bass move in for that, your muskies move in for that, and that's just easy pickings. And doing that, I mean, what other patterns that are going on right now? Jay, you were saying weed growth was pretty good on the river yesterday, right?
Well, unfortunately, yeah, the weed growth is that grass type stuff. So,
like the stringy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got weeds. You know, you say grass, but
cabbage is low and slow. Let's put
okay.
It that way.
Yeah, I'm seeing that across. I'm sure that somebody's going, well, my lake's full, but most everything is slow on vegetation thus far. And again, that's kind of part and parcel for cooler temps and things of that nature. But what I'm seeing with sporadic vegetation early, because there's some years where it's like, okay, you know, by season opener up north, there's a established edge or there's something good, you know what I'm saying? But being exceptionally observant and astute for patches is serving everybody well right now, where it has to start somewhere, right? So the weeds don't always grow evenly, and you might be looking for this edge or this vegetation that, oh, last year or every time I'm here. There's often kind of the beginnings of that, where it might not extend. It might be 4 feet wide. It might be 2 feet wide. It might be the first few stalks, but, man, they're there, right? You might not have the numbers in hiding in the littoral zone or using that air. Let's say it's perennially a weed bed. You might not have the same population density, but you're going to find them if you really dial in on those patchy, sporadic early weeds, because it just seems like, they, you know, everybody I'm talking to, everybody I'm asking, it's not like, bam, they're all there as far as the growth. So if you're able to find those small patches, you're able to find these clusters and clumps, you can capitalize on that pretty heavily. And it's, you know, it's pretty, you're able to fish that really quick. Now that's a heck of a job for side imaging and live scope too, right? So if you come into that or turn it sideways, go, oh, there's a clump, let me throw over there, there's a clump, you know, and you can kind of bang through those. Or I've been finding that, you know, if I find one clump, this early weed growth, okay, kind of work the proximity or the area around that clump pretty heavily has been pretty productive. Because I found two different things. I found some muskies scattered on the clump weeds themselves, that is original small stalks and areas. And I've also found bait fish on them and muskies just adjacent. Right. So kind of policing on the outside, it's kind of a mixed bag. And I think that's more of a water depth thing in the areas they're targeting. But that's kind of the cool thing. When you don't have a lot of early weed growth, the early weed growth that you have is exponentially more important. Right. The other thing, Jay, talk to a dude that's right up your neck of the woods. No weeds, no noticeable weeds on his body of water, but they're where they should be. They're still cruising up in their shallows, but, you know, it's like looking for anything that constitutes cover, which is all obviously just like small structural anomalies. And he said he got into a mess of fish. There's just a slight depression, like a little bit of a ditch that's not even on his map, right? And there they were, right? So if you're fishing featureless flats, they're not featureless. There's always that irregularity. There's always something that's slightly different where, you know, a lot of these littoral zone flats, these shallow zone flats, you know, there's depressions, there's erosion, there's, you know, there's a rock in commingled with all the mud. And when you find whatever that difference is, that thing that kind of differentiates itself from all its surroundings, that's where you're going to find fish. And I think it's super important when you're fishing areas that were weed beds, you know, you're going, man, there should be a bunch of fish up here. Why aren't they here? Well, there's no weeds. And you kind of change your game plan and go do something else, right? Don't forget that the hierarchy is not that the hierarchy is not dictated by cover. It's dictated by structure. So, you know, the cover and yeah. weeds are an added benefit. But if the area is producing and there are bait fish still there, the temperatures are right, the muskies will still be there. They're just not going to be on a traditional weed edge. They're going to be in dips, divots, trenches. You know, it could be a sunken log. It could be a sunken jet ski, Jay. I've seen it all. I've caught these things off of freaking flooded picnic tables. Literally, that was the thing on Cave Run for years. Like, the water side. Right,
heard that.
I've fished the parking lot more times than I care to say. It's like, is that hard bottom? Yeah, it's asphalt.
It's concrete.
Yeah, what are you throwing at? I'm throwing at the picnic table. Well, why? Because they're there, you know, and it works. And so it could be anything just, and a lot of it, I was trying to explain to a gentleman on the boat this week, kind of that philosophy or that theory, which is, well, they're a predator. At times they feel more comfortable on or against things because it breaks up their profile and silhouette from their potential prey. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, because you can't conceptualize. And I think one thing that's important for everybody is you got to realize no matter what, there's always a couple patterns happening, and you cannot kind of sit here and think about, well, Cisco based suspended fish. You know, you got to kind of treat your pelagic fish entirely different than your edge fish, your structural oriented fish, which they all orient to structure. However, you know, there's always that outlier topic. Well, every, you know, there's barely a musky conversation that goes by where somebody doesn't throw in some complete and utter zinger sideways thing. Well, one time I saw, you know, and they're not doing that. And I think a lot of it is that doubling down where you can't do everything at once. So do something well. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't worry about, are there suspendeds? Or like if we're lacking cover in that early season, don't worry. Yes, there are suspendos, but if you feel like casting and you want to cast and you're focused on edges, focus on that. Don't trouble your mind with the what if, you know? And I think it's important that you kind of obviously do everything and do everything competently. But I think this time of year, people are coming, Jay, they're coming out of this winter thing, right? Season's finally open for them. They're so excited to just get that first one in the back. It's helter skelter, right? And you can't come out early in the year where... You know, you've got, and I've said it before, I'm sorry for the freaking talk about weather changes. It's like rain. I've been in everything this week, and there's exciting tree pollinate. Like, there's trees flinging pollen everywhere in June down here. It's a little late in the game here. But, you know, I've talked to a couple guys where, well, yeah, I think my problem is, and they know it after they get off the water, which is, I've said it. You got a bunch of cool new baits you want to try.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you end up fishing too fast.
Because you're
trying to cover ground, looking for something. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to refocus folks on, which is what you want is not what they're doing, very rarely. What you want them to be doing, very rarely, you know, maybe once a day. You know, it's just that deal, and you got to refocus yourself, and you got to get the self-control to go, all right, am I going to go out here? Am I going to dump my tackle box on the floor, right? Throw everything like a crazy person, you know, and just kind of wing it, or am I going in with a strategy and a plan, right? And I think you got in, and it's like, the refocusing of that, okay, you know, you're listening to Muskie podcast, you obviously know a thing or two about this, but it's the mental game is as important as anything else. And I mean, slow down and you know, slow down and cover stuff. You'll get that first one. I think it's that self-fulfilling prophecy of I'm struggling early. Well, the reason you're struggling early is because you're struggling early. Why do you give a shit? Right? Fish. Don't focus on, I got to get my first one. Just fish and fish the right way, and it will take care of itself. Right? Because everybody's I got to get one. Focus on competence. That's what's going to be important. You know, don't focus on trying to do everything at once, or, you know, just have a game plan, stick to it, get your mechanics in check and get your boat control in check. And I mean, that's just the core of the matter. I mean, that's overarching all year long, but it's super important now when you're trying to get your vibe and your flow for the season, you know. And I understand the urgency, the imperative nature of getting that first one, right? Got the monkey off the back, and now you can take a breath, you know. But that's a self-inflicted monkey, Jay.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Is your monkey self-inflicted?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hear what you're saying about, you know, I got to get that first one. It's just like, I'm trying to think of how to word this. But like you said, do the right things. You're fishing at a really irregularly erratic time of the year, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not easy to catch muskies, you know, and not everyone has the benefit of being on the water 6 days a week, where you're getting a wide variety of conditional changes. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, we had one definitely good morning this week. You know, there might be one good morning, there might be one good evening a week where they are almost predictable.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, they're not, obviously. Anyone that musky fishes, and you got to do your homework, and you got to think, and you got to adapt.
Think. So. That's what I'm trying to pound.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get out this afternoon after we're done here, and I don't know, might be some scattered thunderstorms. There's a southwest wind, Steve.
Wow.
Write that down. Southwest wind. Yeah. Wind.
I'm taking notes. Is that okay?
There you go. Yes. So it's a rarity. So, rarity. Yeah, let's try to get something going.
Going to turn them on, you think?
You never know.
You never know.
It's like the big bulky sweaters.
Big bulky sweaters. Well, let's cover a little bit more here. If you can't tell, sure. the more I talk, the more I'm kind of like my sneezing and wheezing here. I'm losing my voice, folks.
Yeah, boy, you had some allergic reactions there with all that stuff in the air. You don't have the wildfire smoke, but I guess, boy, would you have a fever, you said?
Everything's going on.
Everything. Every pollen and grass and mold and spore. And
oh, it was like the first week of a consistent 80s. Right. It rained for like a month. So everything was kind of waiting to do their thing. And it's like, bam.
Mm-hmm.
All the trees are like, yeah, we're going to pollinate, you know, right there in your face, Jay. Just breathe it in.
Yep. Same thing here.
Yeah.
Everything's exploding right now.
Explosion. It's adding a little extra more base texture. So, anyway, can't breathe. I need my allergy medicine.
Medicine.
What was I going to ask you? Oh,
I don't know.
The bash. Do you get all that? Have we got that all sorted?
Do we? July 19th, Saturday. Okay, yep. That's, wow. What, 5 weeks away?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's why I was thinking about it. We got all the things and stuff. We're gonna have hot dogs. Bring your own. If you need spicy brown, if you're a spicy brown eater, bring it yourself. I'm not sure
we'll have that. We'll probably have yellow mustard.
Right, which is economical for us.
Mm-hmm.
You want fancy mustard, bring it your damn self.
Okay.
This ain't the Ritz. I'll have some if you need it. So, God, Jay. Man, well, one other thing I wanted to touch on, we'll hit some Q&A next week and all that fun stuff. Oh, one thing we need to do, Jay, we need to do another Steve Stash for season opener. I was told we need to do that.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, if you want to win some baits and I think because there was Zach and everybody. Everybody got theirs last time. One of them got lost, resent the stuff. If you want some cool baits, write questions in for next week. We got a bunch of questions, but the people at Livingston are going to give away some baits. So it'll be like a Big Mac. You'll get a Big Mac, a Kraken, and I can't remember what else. Bunch of Livingston stuff. New in the box, Jay. These are not used. These are not second-hand models. Factory seconds. These are new, fresh paint, showroom finish.
I like the used baits. The hooks are usually sharpened. It's one less thing to do.
Now, I gave away some cool ones last time. I needed it. This winter, I'm going to do that again, hardcore, folks, is just clear out some of this stuff. The bait cave. The bait cave is bait cavey right now.
I was working on my bait shelf this morning, sharpening some hooks, rearranging the tackle box. Got some new things to try out, a few.
Nice. Well,
tried out some new cool stuff yesterday.
Yeah, tell the folks at home, Jay.
Well, they're not available yet. Okay, it's three prototype Smutley baits,
nice.
Hardwood baits made out by you somewhere, West Virginia, maybe.
Yeah,
where's he from?
They're West Virginia. They're West.
Bug Mark off. Smith.
Yep.
Makes great stuff. So a couple crankbaits and an outstanding softtail glide bait. I am in love with that thing. So we're going to have them make some.
Jay doesn't like glide baits. So it's not that you dislike them.
I just don't.
No, you don't throw them a lot.
No, not a lot. I'm kind of a dive rise guy when it comes to jerks. So yeah, this is a cool one.
When it comes to jerks, you're the king.
Jerk baits, musky
jerk baits. Just let it hang there. Something. One thing I did want to touch on to help the helter skelter of everyone out there throwing and going. The amount of questions that kind of came in this week about blades and spinner baits, right? Okay. Everybody's getting out there. Everybody's doing their thing. We know what a lot of people are throwing, and my email kind of reflected that. So, really simple to try to wrap this up for as many of you that wrote in. I appreciate it. I'd address every individual one, but when you have 45 bucktail questions and I'm just making it up, but you got 30 spinnerbait questions, let's kind of lump it in here together, right? Early season blade selection.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking for and what are we doing? So, there's a few dynamics happening. It's all dictated by running depth and speed, okay? So our blade selection, if you look at the blades, and there's a video on this on the Muskie Shop TV, and we're going to shoot some cool video stuff here this summer and everything and expand on some of this, but muskies are not on a certain blade type, right? Yes, the thump changes with blade types, but they're not like eating blades. They're not down there going, ooh, I wish I had a piece of metal to eat, right? So get that out of our head. They're not on French blades. They're not on Colorado blades. Colorado blades and French blades and the different blades provide different thump and at a varying running depths due to the lift they create from their surface area, right? So the hierarchy, it's real simple. Colorados, you're like on your cowgirls and your spanky baits, it's Colorado. They have the most lift. They have per size, right? A number 8 Colorado has more lift than a number 8 Indiana. And it has far more lift than a number 8 Willow Leaf, right? Those are your three mains, which is Colorado, Indiana, Willow Leaf, right? So we got that check. So we need to address these shallow zones from the standpoint of what running depth do I need to hit, right? So do I need my baits? And when I say lift, I mean lift in the water. Like a airplane's wing creates lift. Blades, bucktails, they don't fall to the bottom. They don't fall head down. The blades lift them up. They cavitate, and they're holding the baits up in the water column, right? So, and just for example, if we had a reeling robot that reeled at the exact same speed, and you have the exact same weighted blades, nothing changed. We could have this, you know, from a Colorado, Indiana, Willow Leaf, you would see a a change in running depth, right? Just from the nature of the lift. So when we're throwing early season blades, we have to work out the problem of running depth, size and profile, and speed, right? So a Colorado blade can be worked very slow with a lot of lift, right? Where a willow leaf blade can be worked deep and slow. So what you need to look at, and you need to take your tackle box. I'm not saying you got to go and get anything. Take all your bucktails and all your spinner baits that you're throwing, right? Lay them out on the deck of the boat or lay them out at the boat ramp and throw them and try to reel at the same speed and observe how they're coming in. That's the first thing you can do that's going to change your musky fishing trajectory, right? Go out and observe how these baits are running in the water, right? Are they if I reel with the same reel and blah, 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 and you'll notice, oh, that's a marked difference. Now, a lot of people don't really think a foot and a half, a foot matters. It's the difference between getting fish or not all the time, right? But the dynamic in the early season is often, well, I'm throwing into very shallow water, so I need to really burn this thing in and get it coming in quick, right? So it doesn't get on snagged on the bottom, or it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like people are like throwing up shallow and they're like, I got to get it going, I got to get it moving, blah, blah.
You got the wrong blade on.
Right. Yep. That's what I'm trying to get at. If you are not in control of your running depth, and you got to look at how are you fishing, and are you being influenced by the bait? Are you being influenced by where the fish are staged and what they should be doing? Because at times you throw a bait out and you go, "Oh, I got to burn. I got to keep this thing moving to keep the blades going." Okay, well the bait now is dictating your cadence, not the fish. And that is what matters with blade selection, right? That's the long story short of, is the bait itself dictating cadence, or is patterning dictating cadence?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why it's important to go, what can I do with this tool, right? What can I do with this spanky bait or this MEPS? That's what Jay and I will talk about. If you look at, say, a MEPS double flashaboo versus spanky baits, double eight flashaboo. It's a great example. They are polar opposites. They're the same bait, but they're polar opposites. Well, what is that? They're both bucktails. Okay. Well, the MEPS.
They got the same blades. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly.
So the MEPS uses a very fine wire. They use very thin blades, right? And come stock with smaller hooks. So the thinner blades take less effort to open up and they kind of ride higher in the water column, right? Not kind of, they do. Whereas a spanky has a very heavy wire. It has like double thick blades, even compared to like a cowgirl. And so you go, okay, the spanky bait has very thick blades. It has very thick wire and ran at the same speed will run deeper. Well, I'm not going to grab a spanky bait to work very shallow zones unless I need high speed application.
Right.
Right. So look at it this way. I need to throw a bucktail, and I need to throw it in a shallow setting, and I need to work it slow to moderate. That's how you select your blades.
Right now, what you need to do out there, if you're fishing in 3 and 4 feet of water with emergent weeds,
throw a harpoon.
You want a single blade MEPS.
Eight.
Flashaboo or single blade MEPS Marabou. Steer that thing at any speed.
I like the
nice and slow, nice and high. Work it around around that emergent cover, and you got a good profile. It's good mid-sized profile, and it's
that's one thing I was going to throw
out for that situation because you can slow it down.
Right, and you don't always need to go slow.
No, in the shallows,
that's that blade selection, the early season blade selection. As people are going, what bucktail do I need? Well, I don't know. I'm not on the lake. if I'm in the boat with you, I'll look at the conditions and go, well, we're in a cold front and we ought to probably slow down. Or, hey, it's drizzly, rainy, and the water's 75. Well, you can put on a Spanky and burn it. We don't need to get a MEPS flash and blue on and slow roll it. Two different things, right? And it's kind of like not all bucktails are built the same. But most people are not looking at the applicational nature of them, right? And that's why I hate talking bucktails a lot of times, because people, put on bucktail and throw it. What are they hitting? They're hitting, you know, grape ape. They're on the grape ape. Well, no, they're not. Shut up. Right? They're on some kind of vibrational profile, and running depth is super important. There's so much more to break down there of opposed to they're on bucktails. Bah, right? And that's what's going to be your key success in the early season of if you can, you know, you can throw any old bucktail on there and turn the handle fish on in, but really thinking strategically of, okay, do I need a Spanky bait, or do I need a cowgirl, mm-hmm. or do I need a MEPS? And those are like the three examples. Pick any brand you want, but MEPS is the lightest. A cowgirl falls somewhere in the middle, and a Spanky's the heaviest, right? Well, you can apply them at different speeds and therefore different running depths and different, you know, that's the way you need to look at this. Don't just go, I've got one bucktail. Because if you have, and that's one thing with the bucktails, you can crawl down this rabbit hole endlessly in some capacity, where skirting material creates different lift in the water, la 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 la, right? That's why I'm always a big advocate for just building them myself, right? I just make them myself as needed, because I know what I need. Now, if you don't know what you need, you just need to go through that category strategically, right? Where I think it's like, okay, let's say, for example, muskies are on tail prop topwaters, right? We know they're on plop, 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 right? How many of those do we need? Two, right? You got your, you know, little bastard, and you got a Big Mac. You're probably good, right? Could you interchange a little bastard and a River to Sea Whopper Plopper? Yeah, in my opinion, in most circumstances. I mean, they got to be really, really picky if the differences, you know, if there's an obvious difference between those two presentations. If both those baits are thrown competently and retrieved well, you know, by the same angler or people of equal skill, you're not going to see a big difference, right? Or, you know, let's say if we take whatever, you know, talking modern topwaters, the newer stuff, you take a Big Mac or a Savage Gear, competent angler, the same angler thrown well and worked competently, is it going to be that big of an impact? Where You can narrow the scope on a lot of your lure classes, right? Your twitch baits, your topwaters, your diving rods, blah, 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 blah. But when you get into blades and rubbers, when it gets complicated, I think that's why there's so many people asking, because, like, people are throwing blades and their buddies are catching fish and they're not catching fish. I read that in the email numerous times, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a boat next to us and they're throwing bucktails and catching fish and we didn't. I remember reading it. I said, hey, I'll kind of address this. Where that's cool. You saw them throwing a bucktail, but are they throwing a heavy bucktail, a light bucktail? They're retrieving it fast, they're retrieving it slow. What's kind of the profile and what's the lift, right? Because that influences everything. Where theoretically, let's say a guy, let's say we're fishing nice, slow 5-3-1 reels, we're fishing competently, but we know we need to get it bucktail kind of slow and low, but that's what it's going to take to get a bite, right? You could make the incorrect bait choice by running a MEPS double flash shaboo where you need to have the Spanky bait on because of the added running depth, because, you know, you could be fishing above or below the fish too much, or, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, you might need to run it right over their head to close the proximity gap with the Spanky's added running depth, where the MEPS, it's slow roll is just, they're just like, that's just, why not? I don't want to do that, right? you're not going to get a reaction, whereas you might have to get it just over top of them or just at the weed tops. And so I think that's what you really need to look at. And once you kind of crack that mentally, I think a lot of new musky anglers and people, you know, people that fish a little bit or people that are near the game, when you look at bucktails, do not look at that. They're not all the same. And it's not a matter of big versus little. Double tens. I mean, there's people out there, Jay, they're right to this musky shop. You got them double cowbells. There's no bait called a double cowbell, sir. You know, they just see blades and they think that's good. And there's more to that tool. You can delve into it, you know, but the majority of what you're going to hear, read, and see are just people throwing them out, turn the handle, you know, grinder monkey style, you know.
But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But break it down and look at that, because people writing in or people I'm talking to this week, they're seeing that other people catch fish on blades. What am I doing wrong? My buddy caught two and I didn't catch anything. I've seen it all this week. Well, okay. He's got a, you know, you've got a 8-1 to 1 and he's working a 5-3 to 1. There's a dynamic difference. You know, so you've got to kind of look at things across the board and consider, I think the most important takeaway is considering that a bucktail, not all bucktails are the same. And yes, the difference between a foot of running depth can be the most important thing between catching a fish or not, period. That's it. And a lot of people just don't believe it. They're like, yeah, well, they're hitting his, but they're not hitting mine. What? Well, a foot, right? There's a difference. There is a marked difference dependent on fish demeanor. And I think a lot of it gets lost on those days that, you know, here's 30 minutes, the muskies were suicidal, they're coming unglued, and they're hitting everything in the tackle box, right? They're just not that way all the time. So you have to look at it as a whole and go, okay, hey, man, the minutia matters when it matters. And a lot of times in the early season when it's kind of funky or you're having these not perfect days, it can matter a bunch. Jay, I'm about to have a coughing fit.
No, boy.
I'm working on it. Guys, I'm stuffy and having fun. And, you know, watch out, Jay, for the scare clown. I'm just going to say it.
Yep. Well, you as well. As you head out to the water this afternoon, be careful.
We got there.
Keep your eyes open.
He's a menace.
They're everywhere.
You got Squatch. You got scare clowns.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, Jay Bird, say good afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah. Got to get on the water, guys. Folks. Later. The scare, 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 the scare,